ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Donald Trump and Republican rival Nikki Haley praising today's unanimous Supreme Court ruling. It struck down state efforts to ban him from the ballot, citing an insurrection clause in the 14th Amendment. Haley in Spring, Texas.
I'll defeat Donald Trump fair and square, but I want him on that ballot.
A UN report says that there are reasonable grounds to believe Hamas committed rape and sexual torture of Israeli women. One holdout is keeping a Gaza ceasefire deal from happening. Hamas, says State Department spokesperson Matt Miller.
A deal is on the table. A deal that would bring the hostages home and that would alleviate the terrible suffering of the Palestinian people. Hamas should accept it immediately.
The first non-prescription birth control pill will be available in U.S. stores later this month. The brand name is Opill, made by Perrigo. 3 months supply, $50. Also available online. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin taxpayers with kids are getting a tax break. Governor Evers is enacting a bipartisan bill to expand child and dependent care tax credits from 50% of the federal credit to 100%. The total tax relief should add up to $73 million a year. On Friday, Evers vetoed three Republican tax cut bills. Suburban women in Wisconsin will have a lot to say about who wins the race for president. That's why First Lady Jill Biden was in Waukesha yesterday talking about reproductive rights.
We are the first generation, and I think someone said this, in a half a century, to give our daughters a country with fewer rights than we all had.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Madison the day after tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A reckless homicide case was settled in Burnett County on Friday. Danielle Rodriguez pleaded guilty to second-degree reckless homicide after other charges were dismissed. Rodriguez and Shane Bearhart allegedly snuck a substance containing fentanyl into the county jail, leading to the overdose death of an inmate. Rodriguez was sentenced to 5 years in prison and 7 years of extended supervision and is eligible for an early release if she completes a substance abuse program. The case against Bearhart remains open. St. Luke's and Aspirus Health have announced they have officially combined. According to a press release, the system will now operate 19 hospitals and 130 outpatient locations with over 15,000 employees across Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. The organizations announced their plans to affiliate over the summer. In the press release, Aspirus committed to honoring St. Luke's contracts and invest at least $300 million into St. Luke's strategic projects. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A good day for Brewer batters. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in Cactus League action. The final score 10-4. Willie Adames with a home run. Christian Yelich with two hits, two RBI. On how the team looks so far.
I think we're a really young team. We have a lot of young players. A lot of guys that have been around here for a while have kind of moved on or gone a different direction. You know, I think we'll go as far this year as the young guys take us.
The Brewers face the Giants tomorrow. NBA. Bucks play the Clippers before heading out on a four-game road trip. College hoops. Iowa's Caitlin Clark, now the all-time leading scorer in Division I basketball, surpassing Pistol Pete Maravich with a record 3,667 points that lasted 54 years. The Badgers losing to Illinois, 91-83. Wisconsin has lost seven of their last nine. Greg Gard.
We play good basketball at times, but we're inconsistent. As I always say, when guys come off the bench, we can't go backwards.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. turning mostly clear tonight, low in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little warmer, highs to the upper 40s. And more sunshine for Wednesday, into the low 50s for the high. Thursday looks mostly cloudy, a slight shower chance, and a high around 50 degrees. Currently, it's 37.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tune in for a Super Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll bring you all the electoral results and more 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Monday night, March 4th, the number's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Brand new week, Johnny Lupinacci, Busted Pencils, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I just thought I'd remind everybody in case they're out and nobody forgot, but every night this week, it's us. It's Busted Pencils. It's Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker, Anya in the house, holding everything down, making sure that everything flows right. And of course, lots of guests. Great week we have coming up.
Yeah,
this week,
we got a Johnny. Great week, man. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, last week was a great week and there were a few little hiccups here or there because as our listeners know, like, man, every community that listens to us or that we're in is dealing with some form of the flu or there's all kinds of sicknesses running through, so we're bouncing back and hopefully everyone's healthy this week and it's smooth. And we had to reschedule a guest from last week that I'm super stoked about, and I know our listeners are too, Tim, because every time we have this guy on, he drops some kind of big knowledge bomb on all of us that helps and has helped so many school leaders out there navigate some of the political issues that really should be non-issues. Right. Yeah. And so I'm excited to have our guest tonight rescheduled from last week.
Exactly.
And I mean, let's without any further ado, let's introduce this guy so we can get rolling.
Hey, man, it's, you know, it's a, we claim him. He's our own astrophysicist. I mean, you know, we pay him. Well, you know, we
big bucks,
big kudos. Dr. Ethan Siegel. There he is. Starts with a bang. Check out his blog. Check out and follow him on Twitter. Ethan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me. You know, last week worked the way it worked out, but I'm here now, and that's all that matters. So let's make it a good one.
Yeah, we're going to make it a good one. So, you know, we're going to jump right into this. So in Wisconsin, particularly, the legislature there is raising the alarm among science education groups. AB, that would be Assembly Bill 510, a parental rights bill, would allow parents to opt children out of classes or instructional material based on religious or personal conviction, require timely notice when a controversial subject will be taught or discussed, and allow parents or guardians to sue a school, district, or a teacher if they believe the school has failed to apply the law. Ethan, not astrophysics, but science. What do you think about Wisconsin's parental bill of rights?
You know, in Wisconsin is it's a personal state to me because it was my first, where I had my first job after I graduated from grad school. It's where I met my now spouse. Wisconsin was a great state to me. I loved living in Madison and I had a wonderful time there. This is, you know, this is a difficult topic, right? If you're a parent and you hear my kid is learning something in school that offends your sensibilities, you're like, oh my goodness, why is my kid learning that? Mm-hmm. This could be about sex education. It could be about gay rights, marriage rights, trans rights. It could be about evolution. It could be about any number of topics that offend your sensibilities. And I would say to everyone listening out there, this is exactly the purpose of public education. The purpose of public education is that when you're going to go out into the world as a young adult, having completed your school, you have to at least know this much to be a functional human being in the world. Even if your parents don't want you to know it, even if your relatives don't believe it, even if this conflicts with what you learn in church or at home or anywhere else in the world, this is part of what you need to know about what is true and what is correct in the United States of America at the present time to go out into the world. The idea that you as a parent can opt your kid out of society, out of education, out of, I was talking earlier about vaccines. Look, you can do whatever you want as a parent. But the idea that you can opt your kid out of a public education and still give the kid a public education, like, no, that diploma means you got a public education. You graduated from this school. You have to go through the whole school for that. I'm sorry, Wisconsin parents, but your assembly bill is against the spirit of education itself.
Look at Johnny Lupinacci, man. Is just nodding. Go for it, Johnny.
No, man, I love it. I mean, we have, you know, Ethan here explaining it in such accessible ways. Like, it's matter of fact. There's an important aspect that public education brings. I mean, last week we were celebrating public education in Wisconsin, right? It was a week of celebrating it. And this is, like Ethan just summarized, the great thing that education provides in a democracy, like in this sense that kids are learning based on the best information we have for humanity. That is sort of the public promise, sort of like the oath. If teachers were taking an oath like doctors do, you know, to do no harm, is they're taking an oath to, you know, exactly what Ethan explained here, provide the kind of education that is based on the best information out there and that helps them be prepared for a complex world where they're the decision makers, right? That they've dealt with controversy, that they understand the importance of things like we brought it up in past shows. Ethan, you know, really empowered us with this concept. And I know it's helped a lot of school leaders out there have testimony of it, but the idea of scientific consensus, the importance of that and being weary of and aware of the danger of giving equal time to the false equivalency. And so, you know, these are the kinds of things where Ethan comes on, he reminds us so clearly, like, this is the beauty of having public education. Like, it's an important thing that we unfortunately have to defend and make defense for.
I wonder,
you know,
though,
you always go ahead, Ethan. Defend this when it comes to, you talk about rights. You know, if I go to the supermarket and I go to the meat counter and I say, like, hey, give me a 1-inch thick cut of your T-bone steak. And the guy behind the meat counter takes a look at me and says, no, look at you. You're fat. You're a heart attack risk. I'm not giving you this red meat. Like, I don't think I would say, like, can you please give me someone who works here who understands their job? Right? Because I'm going to buy this slab of meat. It's my right as a customer to buy the slab of meat. It's the same thing if I go to the doctor and say, oh man, I just had dental surgery and I need these painkillers. And the pharmacist looks at the prescription and goes, oh no, this is for an opioid. You might get addicted. I'm afraid of that. So I'm not going to give you your medicine. I'll be like, can you get me a real pharmacist? Well, same thing. If you go and you tell me, you know, oh, well, I'm going to public school. Don't teach me about the things that are going to offend my parents. No, absolutely not. Your parents should not be allowed to opt you out of correct information. You want to go to a different school where you go to, you know, where you go to, you know, Miss Mary Hill's, you know, false information elementary, go ahead. But in the real world, you need to arm kids with correct information so that they can go out in the world and be functional members of society, right? You tell kids you want to make the plants grow, pour water on them. You don't have equal time to someone who says, hey, you want to make the plants grow, pour salt on them. That'll make the No, that's not true. Don't listen to that. Don't teach that. Keep that out of your classroom. At the same time, keep the correct information in your classroom. You parent, you want to opt out of the whole system. You don't belong.
There it is. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Our guest, Dr. Ethan Siegel. We are talking about a parental bill of rights, and it's in Wisconsin, but you know what? There are 17 other states right now in the country that are also putting out some form of a parental bill of rights, looking at particularly in Wisconsin, the science education. While the bill AB 510 does not specifically single out science education, science educators are worried because, well, as you said, Ethan, you know, being able to opt your child out of things like evolution, climate change, or anything that as a parent, this is the other part I think about this. If you're a parent and you're offended by that, can you just give your kid an opportunity to give them a chance to maybe learn something or push forward? Ethan, I would have some people potentially, though, taking this topic and going, hey, parents always have the authority to educate their kids to make those decisions. Ethan, what's the problem with, you know, opting out? Hey, the rest of the kids are free to learn whatever they want to learn, but me as a parent, I'm saying, you know what, when it comes to talking about dinosaurs, I like my dinosaurs and people hanging out together 6,000 years ago because that's the way it is. And I don't want them to hear anything like that. You know, are we saying, because there's a sense or a tone potentially, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but of saying, no, there shouldn't even be an opt-out allowed.
You know, people are going to make whatever rules they're going to make. But what I want to look at is what's in the best interest of the child. Does the parent have the child's best interest in mind when they say, I want to opt my child out of this controversial topic? I say, no, we don't let parents opt children out of learning that racism is bad. We don't opt parents out of saying, like, well, I don't want my kid to learn that the United States was a slave-holding nation. We don't allow parents to opt kids out of, well, reading and writing is against my religious teachings. No, I'm sorry. If these things are your values, your kid still has to go to public school and learn all the things you need to learn in public school. And if you don't agree with that, don't enroll your kid in public school at all.
Straight up, there is our guest, Ethan Siegel, Busted Pencils, you know, our own astrophysicist. The number 844-967-2789. We're looking at parental bills of rights across the country. In Wisconsin, very specifically, Assembly Bill 510 is saying parents, they have the right to opt their children out of controversial or things that they just don't really think their kids should be allowed to learn, should ever be there. Ethan Siegel, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slicker on you. We're all here kind of chewing it up and saying, let's reconsider potentially. When we get back, though, looking for your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, back in a second.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, I am totally opposed to abortion and I'm 100% pro-life. And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Love it when I find a flower growing at my feet. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. The number's 844-967-2789. Parental bills of rights are out there. And Steven from Green Bay is calling us. Ethan, before we jump into it, though, we got to go to Steven. Steven, what's happening, our friend?
Hello, guys. What is your guest's name again?
Ethan Siegel.
Okay. Ethan, I'm speaking straight to you. I'm fired up on this topic. And first of all, so you're not too scared over there, I agree 100% with everything you said. But I'm going to take it one step further. And I'm going to say, not only if you're too sensitive to have your kids learn actual factual information, your kids shouldn't be in public school, but I'm going to take it one step further and tell the public schools to stop sugarcoating the information that we're giving our kids. Thanksgiving was not the Indians and the white people sitting around a table, being merry, eating turkey together. It was white people coming into native lands and saying, guess what? This is ours. You don't like it? Too bad. And that's the reality of it. We have to,
you know,
stop.
Steven, one of the things I really like about what you're saying is there's this idea that if something is challenging, too challenging for a student, for their parents, for the environment they're going to go home to, that they shouldn't be exposed to it. And I think that's the wrong idea. Like the idea that you want to protect the kids is a good instinct, but the idea that that's a good way to protect kids is completely wrong-headed. When you think about your own education, Johnny, Tim, myself, when we think about our own educations, when did we learn the most? Was it from something that already agreed with our preconceptions and that already was just completely in line with what we already thought and were taught? Or was it the things that we learned that it was like, oh, I didn't know that's how it was. I had never been exposed to that idea before, right? That's where education actually takes place. That's where learning takes place. You can't allow some parent or some other adult who isn't even related to the kid in school to take that opportunity away from them.
Open learning opportunities. Just think about that. Steven from Green Bay, you got another comment there, or are you gonna let you go to bed, man?
Yeah, I do have another comment.
Okay.
Actually, I was going on a little raid, and Anya told me to settle down a little bit. So I've gotten to settle down. So I'm just very passionate about this because I was in public school, and public school didn't serve me well learning about my history. I had to learn a lot of it on my own as an adult. And a lot of the history that I did learn in school, I found out A, was either completely fabricated, or B, sugar-coated to the point where it didn't really teach me anything, and it gave me the completely wrong and opposite idea of what actually happened. And so when I learned as an adult, I was appalled. I was like, wait a minute, you mean the Indians and the white people weren't friends? It's just, and I'm not the only one. So.
No, you're not. You're not. Ethan, what do you, I know Steven's really going on about history, but the idea of knowledge, right? And the fact that I think what Steven talks about too, and I've heard this from lots of my students, particularly around this area, you know, because Johnny and I do a lot of social studies teaching, is that when they learn of these things for the first time, you hear what Steven is saying. It's kind of like, wait a minute, why wasn't I informed? Why wasn't this taught to me? Now, though, it's kind of like with science, there's you know, it's like a new attempt on science, because it's like some of these things, these aren't controversial historical types of, you know, potentially open for interpretation things. You know, people are like, climate change, the science not, you know, is it close? Wait a minute. What do you mean the science isn't done on that? Ethan, you know, the idea too that you would potentially keep knowledge away from somebody to the point where they then find out later, and even to the point and feel like, wait a minute, what else wasn't taught to me then as I was growing up? I wonder if that we worry there too about potentially setting kids up to go, they become kind of cynical and saying, well, then I don't believe anything.
You know, you've got to remember that there is such a thing as truth out there. There are such things as facts out there. And we don't do anyone any favors anytime we try and shield them from it. Yeah, some of those things are harsh. I remember as a Jewish kid growing up, I read this book about, you know, it was a first person story by someone who was a former slave in the 1850s and 1860s. And she talked about how her family got sold from one family to another. And she was optimistic because this new family she got sold to was a Jewish family. And she thought, well, the Jews had been slaves once in Egypt, so maybe my new owners would be sympathetic to me and wouldn't treat me as bad as my old owners did. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be nice if that was what happened? No, that wasn't what happened. Mm-hmm. She got treated just as badly by the Jewish slave owners as she did by her Christian slave owners beforehand. And I was like, oh, like, that made me uncomfortable. And then it made me ask myself those difficult questions. What kind of person would I have been if I had lived back then? Would I have been a bad slave owner? Would I have been a good slave owner? Would I have been a non-slave owner? Would I have been someone who was an abolitionist, right? You got to ask yourself those difficult kind of questions, and you can't. You lose out on the opportunity to ask yourselves those kinds of questions if someone else shields you from even entertaining those ideas.
Lupinacci, man, your head is going crazy there.
I mean, I love it. I love it because, of course, we all vibe on a similar frequency here. But
yeah, I know.
I love Stephen's call because, you know, Stephen reminds me too, and it's so important. And come back to it that educators, public educators especially, but I would push even further to say most educators, you know, come into teaching with that interest of wanting to provide, you know, what Ethan's sharing is like truths or facts or the best to our humanity's knowledge to prepare people for the future ahead of them. And, you know, and so Stephen brings up this thing I don't think any educator out there wants to be guilty of is disinformation. You know, some of us have taught things that were wrong, and I'll call that misinformation, right? Like we got it wrong. Either the information wasn't there or we didn't have it right. And we kind of teach to the best of our knowledge. Well, teachers have also, like if you're a history teacher, you've studied history and you're teaching history. If you're a math teacher, you studied mathematics and you have an expert knowledge that you're sharing and providing learning opportunity for young people, and you're teaching from the best of the mathematical knowledge. And as a science teacher, I remember the change in the world around plate tectonics. Mm-hmm. And I remember as science was telling us more about the world and sort of the earth's sort of geological formations and things that I had looked back and thought, well, at one point I was teaching information that is no longer the best information. And so with that knowledge, I have the responsibility as an educator to say, hey, I know better now. This is what scientific consensus is teaching. And let me shift and change to provide the best information forward. And it meant sort of reconciling that. I didn't dig in and say, I'm going to teach this because this is the way I learned it. Or this is what I believe. I went with that, making sure the best information was taught.
Busted Pencils, back in a minute.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Volunteers from all over Wisconsin are joining the search for missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu in the Manitowoc area. He was last reported seen on February 20th. Two Rivers police say they focused search efforts on rural areas in Manitowoc County this weekend. Time is running out for now for state lawmakers to help people in Wisconsin whose water supplies are polluted with PFAS.